Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to, again, our second session as we talk about ever faithful. That's our God. And today we're going to still be in that theme, but just a little bit different vein of that theme. This has been a great teaching for me to prepare. It has really encouraged me. And this started back during the last part of last year, which was a trying time for us. And it has just lifted me up. This combined with some teaching that we've done at High Point on love, which I may get back to and share here sometime soon on His love and how it brings healing to us, has just really encouraged me, not only in the area of healing, but in every area. I've just seen His desire for us, and I'm going to use the word prosper, and you'll see that one more time today, because of His love, His faithful love, that everlasting love, and His ever faith being ever faithful to us. So let's start today with a quick review of what we looked at last week. We started out talking about being ever faithful, our ever faithful God, and we started in Hebrews 11, looking at the 11th verse, and it reads, "By faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life." And here is the phrase that we really focused on. "Since she considered him faithful, who had promised." Faithful to his promise. And that did what? It enabled her to receive strength, one translation says, to receive that ability to conceive, even though she was beyond that proper time of life. And you remember, as we went on, we looked back in Genesis, Sarah laughed when the Lord proclaimed that He'd come back at this time next year and she would conceive. We commented she considered Him not faithful. She considered Him maybe funny. But that was concerning us, it was a faith failure on her part. And then Jesus said something to her that is so important. I believe Jesus was there with the two angels. That's why I keep saying Jesus. But what did she say? What did he say? He said, "Is anything too difficult?" And that word difficult literally means wonderful. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? And we need to be able to take this and apply it to you and me also. And this is going to get amplified some today. Nothing too difficult for him. Don't let your problems seem so big. And then at some point, after pondering his word, I can imagine she just muttered it over and over again. He said that. He's been faithful to Abraham, considering that faithfulness that the Lord had shown him. She judged him faithful. And what happened? Well, we know her body began to change. She was desired by a king to be in his harem. And then finally, in Genesis 21, what he had promised, he delivered on. In Genesis 21, the Lord did exactly what he had spoken to her. In other words, he exhibited or he manifested his faithfulness to her. And Sarah spoke this, and I think this is just so good. It's really strong in me. She said, "God has made me to laugh. Who would have said it?" But God promised it. He said it in a promise, and faithful is He. And she said, "Now I'm nursing a baby." And I just imagined all the people that laughed at her. When she probably shared what the Lord said, you know, some may have said, "Well, take it serious," but most probably would have laughed. Others, I'm sure, would have laughed at her who didn't know her well if they had heard about it. But what happened? She got a child. Now they begin to laugh with her, not at her. And we said last week, we too can have the last laugh at the devil when he starts lying to us about what God won't do for us. So we had to ask ourselves. And by the way, what does Isaac mean? Laughter. Oh, that just blesses me. Now, of ourselves, we had to ask this question: is God able to do this with me? Does he have the ability, the power? And most people would say yes. So the bigger question then is, do I believe he wants to? In other words, is his word faithful to me as well? Now, faithful means this: firm, stable, permanent, sure, reliable, dependable. In our way of speaking today, we may say someone or something that you can count on. Someone being the Lord, something being his word that we can count on it. So how do I judge God? And that's a question that each of us has to answer. And then how do I judge his word? Do I believe his word? Now, you're watching today because you believe there is power in that word. And they are words that we can count on. We looked in Deuteronomy and saw that the Lord said, or that the Lord spoke through the prophet and said, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God." And then this is the Lord, the way he describes himself: the faithful God, who keeps his commandments and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Now, a lot of these same things that were spoken about the people as to why he chose them in the previous verse, not because they were many, but because they were little, but all those kind of things, we see that said about us in 1 Peter 2:9. And so we can take these words toward ourselves as well. We too are a holy people, chosen by God, his own possession. And we're what? Redeemed. Redeemed. And that whole verse, number 9 of Deuteronomy 7, started with, "Know, therefore." So we need to know this. That word "know" is the Hebrew word yada, which means to know intimately. Literally, it means to experience it. Now, we can say, well, how can I know it? Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:9, we see in the New Testament written to you and I this phrase: God is faithful. Not maybe, not can be. That's his nature. That's who he is. And we have to take that personal again. And that's why it reads this way: who you were called into fellowship with through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we saw in Revelation 19:11, in the Revelation, John writing says, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True." One of his names throughout eternity, the Faithful One. "And in righteousness he judges and wages war." And then verse 13, "And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood." Thank you, Father, for that shed blood. "And his name is called the Word of God." So faithful person, faithful word. Saints, this is our God. This is our Jesus, the Word manifest. This is who he is. Now today, we want to continue in this vein, but we really want to focus on building our faith in his faithfulness today. And so the Lord gave me the title, "Feed on His Faithfulness." So we're going to be feeding this day on his faithfulness. So let's start in Psalm 37, verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3. I smile just thinking about this one. "Trust in the Lord." In other words, have confidence in him, and I would say in his word, "and do good." Now, when I see that phrase, "do good," to me that says, follow the instructions he gives us. So where can I do this? It says then, "dwell in the land." So I'm going to say, wherever he's put you, you want to trust in him and do his will. And look at this last phrase: "and verily you shall be fed." You shall be fed. Now, excuse me, that I'm reading there the King James, but what I want to start with is the New King James, because it says, "feed on his faithfulness." So dwell in the land, and how we do that is to feed on his faithfulness. Now, Timothy tells us that we're to be nourished up in the word of faith. So as we feed on his word, it is nourishment to our spirit, and it will cause us to be strong in our spirit and mature. Now, it was the King James that said basically the same thing in the first part, but it says, "verily you shall be fed." So to me, if you put these two together, as I often do to really get a meaning of what the verse, then as we feed on his faithfulness, we can be assured that we're going to receive strength from the nourishment we're taking in and be fed. The Amplified Version basically tells us that. But just look at some of these words now when we talk about trust, because I don't believe we can truly trust unless we see Him as faithful. And He's faithful because of His love. Listen to this. Trust. Lean on, rely on, and be confident. Now, those words sound like part of the definition of being faithful, doesn't it? And then it says, who we're to be confident in the Lord, and do good, just as we've seen. So shall you dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness, and truly you'll be fed. So we see in the Amplified exactly what we got when we put New King James and King James together, that we feed on His faithfulness, and surely we shall be fed. The New American Standard ends by saying, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. So this means that it's something we have to do. The feeding on it, the cultivating of His faithfulness to have that imparted in our spirit, man, is a choice and a decision we're going to have to make to get in the words and do things just like we're doing today. Now, I want to conclude with the New Living Translation, because when we have confidence in Him, when we dwell in the land doing His will and are feeding on His faithfulness, cultivating His faithfulness, the New Living says, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Now, if we put these together again for this composite picture, then that indicates to me that His faithfulness and understanding, and let me say that differently, knowing, experiencing it, is a key for us to prospering in every way. Just like 3 John 2. Beloved, I desire above all things that you prosper, be in health. So, cultivating His faithfulness by feeding on His word will position us to prosper. Now, let's look at Abraham, father of our faith, and see how faithfulness really, it caused him to have a strong faith. So it starts out Romans the fourth chapter, verse 17. And it quotes out of Genesis 15, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom he believed. Now let me just stop there. A father of many nations have I made you. What is God doing here? He's have made you. He's putting it in the past tense. He's calling things that be not as though they were. He is calling them as when He says it, what He's going to do, as done. To me, the Father is expressing His faithfulness in just the terms and the tenses of the words He uses. So, He's made, father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom he believed. So, Abraham believed it. And the father did too, obviously. Who gives life to the dead and then calls into being that which does not exist. Exactly what we were saying. 18. In hope against hope. So, he hoped, even though he saw no reason to hope, if he had looked at his own body, he believed, in order that he might become the father of many nations. According to what had been spoken to him, so shall your descendants be. And remember, he told him to look up in the sky, and he would see the stars. And he said, if you can count them, that's how many your descendants will be. And then considering, talking about Abraham in verse 19, and I want you to know what Abraham focused on. He focused on God's faithfulness, I will say that way. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated, some translations say contemplated not his own body. I think that's more accurate. Now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he could not contemplate that and keep his hope up and have faith. He had to look at the word that God said, knowing that the Lord said, I'm a faithful God. Verse 20 then says, yet with respect to the promise of God, again, going back to the words, those faithful words that God spoke, he did not waver in unbelief. Now, just kind of think about those words. No wavering in any unbelief, but instead he grew strong in faith. How? By pondering God's faithfulness to his word. And that caused him to give glory to God. So how did Abraham not waver? By focusing on God's word and his faithfulness. And you're going to continue to see this today. And can I just tell you this, and I think we'll say it again before the time is over. When he did that, it gave glory to God. God took it as a praise, an act of worship, as he remained in faith, considering him and his word and their faithfulness. And so verse 21 then says, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, there's a lot in that. He was assured that what God said he would do, he really wanted to do, and thus he would do it. Too many today wonder, they'll say, well, yeah, I know God's faithful to his word, until it comes down to, does he really want to do it for me? And a lot of people have problems with that. But he is faithful to his word, both his desire and his ability to perform his word for you. And again, that's how you and I, me included, have to take this. Now, remember Jeremiah 1:12? Don't turn there. Just let me read it to you. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, and here's the phrase, for I am watching over my word to perform it. In other words, he's not going to forget it. He's going to be faithful to ensure that he makes it come to pass. And look at what verse 22 says in Romans 4. Therefore, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, it's in all caps because it's quoting back from Genesis 15. He believed God, and righteousness came to him. Now, we have the words concerning Jesus being born, a virgin birth, resurrected from the dead. There are many who just don't believe that. But that is paramount in us believing the word and us being able to receive Jesus and being made righteous just as our faithful Lord wants us to be. So, what are we to feed on? I think we need to feed on first and foremost his words. That's what we're going to do today. And then next week, we're also going to talk about his deeds, because we need to go back and we'll show you scriptures that talk about this. We need to focus on what he's done for us and what he's done for others as well, those in scripture and those who we live on this earth with today. So rest of the time, feeding on his word. Let's go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, a misunderstood verse. Many people will say, well, God's just not going to put more on you than you can bear. Well, that's not exactly what this says. No temptation has overtaken you. So he's talking about us being tempted not to have faith, not to believe his faithfulness. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And then it says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, meaning he'll have a way for you to walk in faith to overcome it. And it also says that you may be able to endure it. So it may take a little time. But just like Abraham, when we feed on his faithfulness, and that's the main thing he stresses in this verse, that I'm faithful, then it will help us endure and get through whatever comes against us. Now, the word endure means to bear up, to not be downtrodden about it, and escape it. In other words, to overcome it. So we have been made overcomers. We can walk through temptation, through that time it takes, bearing up under it, and overcome it. Now think about this, and as I did, we have a scripture that says, no temptation has overtaken you. Yet scripture says, when we know what's right to do, and don't do it, then that's a sin. Well, that's a temptation then, isn't it? A temptation to sin when we know what's right, but we don't want to do it. If I think about this verse, it says, when I find myself knowing that I need to forgive somebody, knowing that I need to act on what he's told me to, that he is faithful and he will strengthen me with his word, with the faith that he's placed in me to overcome that. That was just something, a nugget that he gave me on some things that sometimes that we all face where we just don't want to do it, yet we know. Love that. Now, out of this, I'll say again, don't judge anything that comes against you. Any temptation then is too big. Why? Because God is faithful to provide us a way to endure it, to bear it, and to overcome it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. Total being, spirit, soul, and body. And has it to be preserved without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How in the world can that happen? Verse 24, faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. Now, preserved complete, to me that says I'm strong and I'm sound. Now, we kind of touched on this last week, but people can say, well, you just never know what God's going to do. What is that questioning? His integrity, his very nature, his love. But we can't say that. If we do, we're judging him what? Unfaithful. Would you consider it a compliment if someone said about you, and I'm going to pick on Patricia since she's helping me with this morning, you just never know what Patricia's going to do. I don't think she would be real pleased with that. And our Father isn't either. We're questioning his integrity, and we've seen over and over in these verses, he says, I am faithful. 2 Timothy, let me just read that once more, verse 24. Faithful is he who calls you. He will also bring it to pass. But we might say, what if I, like Sarah, laugh sometime at what the Lord tells me to do? If I might, use this phrase, if I might have a faith failure. 2 Timothy 2:11-12. If we endure, we shall reign also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now, I want to check a scripture because I may have written down the wrong verse in my notes here. You will have them corrected by the time you get it, but yes, it's 12:13, not 11:12. So that was verse 12 we read. Now verse 13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So let me put this in Sarah's terms. If I laugh and miss it, I don't need to beat myself up forever. I just need to get back straight because he's still remaining faithful to me and he'll see it through. Man, what a promise we have. The Amplified reads this way. If we are faithless, do not believe, and thus are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. Dewey Rain says he continueth faithful. In other words, steady state, no change. And let me remind you, he said he will complete that which he's begun in you. So he will complete this work of us learning to be faithful to him and his word as we see him and as we are changed from glory to glory. So if we have the devil say, he won't heal you, what do we know? The devil's lying, not God. If he says, I won't fill you with my Holy Spirit, we know that's a lie. He said, I will. And with evidence of being filled with that Holy Spirit, never, never, ever should we impugn the character of God by saying, I don't know, or maybe. Hebrews 10:21 through 23. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. Now, what is the house of God? Say that differently. Who is the house of God? Us, the ecclesia, his church. We have a great priest, our Lord Jesus. It says, let us draw near. Now, when we see these words, let us draw near, what do we also know from another scripture? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He is faithful to do that. So let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Thank you for the blood. And our bodies washed with pure water. Thank you for your word, Lord. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. How can we maintain hope when things don't look hopeful? The same way that Abraham did. And we can do it without wavering. That's what he tells us. Hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This isn't just about us. It's about our faithful master, the one whose name is faithful and true. Now, the without wavering, I just couldn't get over that. That instructs me, and I'm trusting him to complete this in me. As he said, and as we saw earlier, talked about earlier, I can get to a point where I do not waver. Not because I'm so strong, but because he's faithful to complete that work in me that he started. Now, where does it start? It starts in 1 John, I think, 1:9 is a good place to see how faithful he is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's where we must start. Otherwise, we'll be condemning ourselves all the time. His faithfulness to the blood of Jesus guarantees us forgiveness. Praise God. Now, I want to go through some psalms because I think they can encourage us as well. I want to start with Psalm 89, and we're going to read two verses from it. Verse 8, and verse 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is like thee, O mighty God? Thy faithfulness also surrounds thee. So God's faithfulness is what surrounds him. Now think about all the times it talks about surrounding things, about the mountains surrounding and protecting Jerusalem. He surrounds us with favor, Psalm 5:12. Think about those things. His faithfulness is what encompasses him round about and up and down. Again, his nature. So what does that mean to us then? Listen to what he says in verse 24. My faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him, talking about you and I, and in my name, the Lord's name, talking about man, his horn will be exalted. Now, let me try to read that personally. And his faithfulness and his loving kindness will be with me. And in his name, my horn, my strength, will be exalted. Oh, praise God forevermore. Not just about my faithfulness to him. That's important. We can get there. He desires that. He'll change us as we see his faithfulness. Just like when we question our love for him, where do we go? Looking back at his love for us. Same thing holds true with his faithfulness. Psalm 119, all about scripture, all about his word, which he's faithful to. Listen to verse 30. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed thine ordinances before me. So again, we're seeing his word as the faithful way. It shows us how to live, and we can, without wavering, choose to follow it. Verse 138 says, you have commanded thy testimonies, your words, in righteousness, and exceeding faithfulness. God's word are absolutely faithful. We can trust them. We can experience that faithfulness. And I want to close with three verses, including this one from Psalm 119, where we see some things we can do when we encounter difficulty. All thy commandments are faithful. Psalm 119, verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They, talking about his enemies, have persecuted me with a lie. Now, I emphasized in my Bible with a lie, because if they're saying something contrary to his word and saying God won't help you, what do we know? What did we say earlier about healing, about filling with the Holy Spirit? If you hear he won't do that, we know he's faithful to his word and he said he would. So that is a lie that the enemy tells you. So let me read the whole thing. All thy commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me, an ever-present help in time of need, because of his faithfulness. Psalm 143, David writes, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in thy faithfulness, in thy righteousness. Now, he's writing this to you and I. And so what this says to me is that when we are praying his word back to him, praying his word concerning me back to him, that gives him glory, because we're placing our trust in him in uncertain times. And that brings glory to him. Yeah, I think it just makes him smile, because we know he's trusting. And that we also know that he will bring the results to us because he's faithful. Now, some of you may say, well, can you put that in a New Testament verse? Yes, and this is what we'll close with. 1 John 5:14-15. Now, we've taught this verse a lot, but I want you to see it in terms of today, his faithfulness to his word. You hearing what I'm saying? His faithfulness to his word. This is the confidence, the trust, which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what is his will? His word. He hears us. And we know that, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked with him, from him. Now, how do we know that? Because he is faithful to his word. He is faithful to hear his word when we ask, and he is faithful to respond. And if we need deliverance, he is faithful to do that. The faithful one, our Father God, the faithfulness of his Son Jesus to us. The Father is faithful to Jesus, who is the Word. And what is he doing? He's watching over that Word to perform it. That, folks, is the ever-faithful one. So let us be encouraged as we fed on his faithfulness this morning. And then we'll begin to talk about the things that he's done for the Son of Man. And I may even share with you some things that I ask, how did that happen? Where I see him being faithful to me throughout my life. We love you. Feed on his faithfulness. And we'll see you next week.